tuned at 7 for Vegan World Radio.
Hey, as always, we leave you with a thought for the week. It comes from C.S. Lewis, who said, "Nothing that you have not given away will ever be really yours." Think about it. Take care of each other. Peace.
There's a vacancy on the KPFT local station board, and you're invited to fill it. If you're interested in service on the local station board, please email lsb@kpft.org. Be sure to include your name, phone number, and a good email. If you would like, you can write a brief paragraph as to why you would like to serve and what would make you a good delegate. Working together with the local station board, KPFT management is looking to build a better KPFT. Thank you.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM and FM HD1.
I love animals to the extent that from the very beginning of the story of Cecil the Lion, I was simply outraged, as I know many of you were. This whole idea of hunting animals and making them trophies. We need you to be able to be the strong voice, the moral conscience, to say that animals have rights.
And that was, of course, the voice of our dearly departed Sheila Jackson Lee, who we just lost last week. She's a great defender of progressive causes in Houston. And I didn't realize that she was also the recipient of an award for her protection for animals. We're going to get into that next on Vegan World Radio. Also, there's a huge news story that Captain Paul Watson of Neptune's Pirates has been arrested in Greenland. He's being held in danger of being facing a prison sentence in Japan on trumped up charges, in our opinion. He's a great defender of animals. So usually we hear a opening song to start the show, but in this case, we're just going to give you a little information up front about the amazing legacy of Captain Paul Watson. This is a little sample from a documentary about him called Watson. Also, we're going to be joined by our co-host remotely, Wade Gonsolin, who you've heard before, and we're going to have two guests later in the hour, the second half, to speak about Paul Watson. So please stay tuned for all that and more on Vegan World Radio. Come.
Life started in the ocean. It's the lifeblood of the planet. I said, everything I do in my life will be for them and to protect our ocean. And they punished me for having the audacity to oppose their illegal activities.
Interpol has issued a red notice for eco-terrorist Paul Watson.
Anyone who knows of his whereabouts, contact authorities.
I feel that it's our moral obligation to prevent criminals from raping and plundering that this planet has for all of us.
But I can't back down. This is too important. If the ocean dies, we all die. The Greenpeace approach was to hang banners, take pictures, and observe. I can't do that.
If what we do involves confrontation, so be it.
You have to get these problems across by whatever means necessary.
I'm chasing the Ishimaru number 3, who's in pursuit of 2 whales.
Got his hand on the trigger. Hold on, buddy. Oh, my God.
We're passengers on Spaceship Earth, and people are killing off the crew. But every time that there's an action, there's a reaction. and that's what we are.
Mr. Watson, he's not welcome here. We do not cause any injury. We have never caused any injury.
And you have to rock the boat. And if you're not doing that, then you're not doing your job.
Good evening and welcome to Vegan World Radio. We come to you every Monday night from 7 to 8 Central Time here on 90.1 KPFT in Houston and worldwide at kpft.org. I'm called Ocean and I'll be your host tonight. I'm also going to be joined by our longtime friend Wade Gonsolin. He's going to be joining us remotely. And as you heard, the topic of today is really going to be very serious. Captain Paul Watson is facing over a decade in prison in Japan. If he's not sprung from these charges in Greenland, we're going to hear more about that later. But also you heard the voice of wonderful Sheila Jackson Lee, who was our wonderful congresswoman from Houston, United States congressional representative. All right, I believe that Wade is on the line with us.
I'm right here.
Hey, Wade. Thank you for joining
us. How are
you? On such an important evening.
Yes.
I know we have a lot to talk about later about the defense of whales and what's going on with Neptune's pirates and Captain Paul Watson. But first, we do have a sad occasion that we've lost Sheila Jackson Lee, who was such a fixture in both Houston City Council and in Congress for Houston for Progressive Causes. And we heard just a little sample of her talking about it, but I wonder if you wouldn't mind sharing what she was presented with. And we're going to hear the longer clip of that in a minute.
Okay, I would be happy to. Okay, so this is what was presented to her. Presented on January 23rd, 2017. Are you hearing me okay?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. The Congressional Leadership Award from the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals was awarded recently to departed Congresswoman Jackson Lee of Houston. Her comments at the time included, "In response to the brutal killing of Cecil the Lion, I introduced the Cecil the Lion Endangered and Threatened Species Act. This legislation would amend the Endangered Species Act of 1973 to prohibit the taking and transportation of any endangered or threatened species as a trophy into the United States. Currently, the Endangered Species Act does not protect this vast majority of wild animals killed and imported. As a result of this loophole, tens of thousands of wild animals are killed every year by trophy hunters and transported into the U.S. The conservation of endangered and threatened species is critically important to the sustainability of our biodiversity. The ecosystems, injustice is universal, whether it be directed towards animals or humans, and I thank PETA for their gallant efforts and will continue to support them in the fight for animal rights." Very beautiful.
Yeah, she was a woman of many surprises. I didn't realize she was also an animal person, in addition to all the wonderful things that she did for Progressive Causes and for Houston. And we're really going to miss her. I had forgotten about Cecil the Lion. That was just so horribly murdered. That was 10 years ago this month. So
it doesn't seem like that long ago.
Right?
I mean, it really doesn't. You know, I remember all the posts flying around, and there was so much anger, and it was a very dramatic thing. It was very sad, and it's just a testament to how money and greed seems to come before ethics.
Well, and We're getting ready to listen to the longer clip of wonderful, now late, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee speaking about when she was presented with this award. It's actually, if you go to YouTube, you can find it on a longer clip when this is something they put together. PETA did when Joe Biden was inaugurated, and they were kind of reviewing all of the interventions they've done with Congress and the government on behalf of animals and a lot of their achievements. So if you get a chance to check it out, it's really a very educational clip, and you see Sheila Jackson Lee on there, and as well as a number of other things that I didn't know. Just if you Google for inauguration celebration, yeah. PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and then right on the heels of hearing Sheila talk about that, we're just going to hear breaking news at the time. And again, this was not quite 10, but 9 years ago, when they didn't know who killed Cecil, and it was just so sad and horrible. Of course, since then they found out it was a dentist from Minnesota who got away with it. Nothing ever happened to him, and apparently he paid $50,000 to do this. And it's just such a, when you think of how that money could have gone to, if he'd instead of like, whenever his day comes and he passes, he's going to be remembered for this ugly, hideous act of cruelty, unnecessary cruelty of an endangered, beautiful wild animal, when he could have had a whole wing of a hospital or animal hospital or any kind of thing to help animals for that much money, how much further that would have gone, and people would have remembered him with great praise instead of shame, as he has
it
now.
It would have done a lot of good. It's just the difference between thinking about what we want in the moment and thinking about what is best down the road. Sometimes I think about this dentist. I mean, I do still think about it. I mean, it comes up every once in a while. I remember it, and I almost feel bad that he has to live with that. It's something that he did. But, you know, sometimes you wish you could just shake people and get them to think about what they're doing in the moment.
Well, exactly. But, and so that's why, you know, this is a good chance to review this. I mean, he's almost been forgotten now. But with the passing of Sheila, who did so many wonderful things, she initiated this act to protect animals because of this just hideous, selfish, and cowardly act by this dentist who could have done so many different things. And so young people, especially young men that hear about this, you know, learn from this and really discourage other people and certainly yourself from trying to fulfill some bizarre fantasy of masculinity or power. It's just ugly and grotesque, and you could do so much more with that kind of money to help animals, and especially the way the planet is going. We need that kind of action to help animals, not make a trophy of their dead bodies and cause so much suffering to him. So anyway, we're going to listen to this now, and when you hear the news report, they say we're searching for the culprit, you know, and he got away with it. So this is an old news clip, but still it gives you a sense of what happened at the time. We're listening to that next here on Vegan World Radio, KPFT in Houston, 90.1, and you're going to hear the voice of late Congressman Sheila Jackson Lee.
Animals have rights, and they have rights because we have laws. And that's why an organization with the conscience that PETA has is so very important, to be able to advocate and push for those rights for animals, to ensure that they enjoy their lives with dignity, because they are living creatures. In addition, I chair the Congressional Children's Caucus, and I think it's very important that we begin to teach children the value of loving and handling animals. It is well documented that when children are abused and they learn to abuse animals, then they become abusive adults. And one of the things that we look forward to doing is working on issues with children and animals and learning to treat them with fairness and love. I love animals to the extent that from the very beginning of the story of Cecil the Lion, I was simply outraged, as I know many of you were. This whole idea of hunting animals and making them trophies, I just simply can't understand it. That's why we need Peter. We need you to be able to be the strong voice, the moral conscience, to say that animals have rights. So I want you to celebrate this evening. I congratulate you, and I'm reminded of the words of my dear friend, in our fight for animal rights in this year, 2021, let's never give up, let's never give out, let's stay in the fight.
Tonight, the hunt is on for the man who killed Cecil, a 13-year-old lion and tourist attraction in Zimbabwe's safari industry. Cecil was lured away from the protection of a national park and then shot. Safari tourist is suspected. David McKenzie has more from Johannesburg.
Cecil was perhaps Zimbabwe's most famous lion. The majestic male, 13 years old, with a famous black mane, has been killed by hunters, according to conservationists. They say the lion was lured out of Kwange National Park and shot with the crossbow, and then tragically stalked for many hours and then killed with a gun. Now, conservationists say that the lion population throughout Africa has dropped by more than 80% in several decades, and they say even if it brings money to the local communities, it's not worth it, particularly in cases like this when famous lions that bring in tourists are killed. David McKenzie, CNN, Johannesburg.
And so we're back. This is Vegan World Radio. And, you know, it's just so tragic that I really encourage you to learn more about what happened to Cecil and the other, you know, amazing and impressive wildlife in Africa, and so many ecosystems, so many species are disappearing because of what human beings are doing. So you can be a force for good rather than adding to their destruction and their misery. I mean, considering being shot with a crossbow and then lingering and all that suffering for hours and hours until you're, you know, killed in your home is just a disgraceful act. So learn from that. Let's all do better. And Wade, did you have any comments about that?
Well, you know me. Do I have any comments that, you know, are tame? I don't know. I've been to protests where we were very welcomed by the general public that was going by, but every once in a while you would talk to someone that just didn't understand. They just didn't get it. You know, what are you doing out here protesting for dolphins when there are children dying and all of this stuff? But, you know, when I think about traveling across the world and shooting an animal that for all intents and purposes cannot fight back, it just doesn't seem right to me.
Exactly. Well, we remember you, Cecil, and all of the other wonderful great cats and primates and just so many diversity. We're so lucky to be on this planet. And so we're here to tell you, along with doing more to protect the planet, go vegan while you're doing it. And we're also briefly, since we're mourning the passing of Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, it's point of reflection on grief, and I just want to take a minute. I don't know how many folks on YouTube are familiar with Derek Sarno. He and his brother Chad had a business and cookbooks, and they're amazing vegan chefs that you can find on YouTube. But this very personal story from Derek was just released on YouTube. This is only going to be a portion of it, but it's going to be a reflection on grief, and sometimes that can inspire you to go vegan or deepen your commitment to veganism for such spiritual and deep and astonishing reasons. In his case, this is a person much closer to him than most of us remember. Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, she was delightful. I remember seeing her at the Cesar Chavez parade that we had a few years ago, because a lot of folks don't realize that Cesar Chavez was vegan and spoke about animals. But I saw her on top of the float, and at one point she caught my eye, and I just saw her beautiful smile, and it was just a lovely moment. But We do have a lot on the show to continue, so I just wanted to share this. Derek Sarno, he's got a YouTube channel, and you can find this. The title is Why I'm a Vegan Chef After Losing Everything. And when I've seen him, he always has these just tattoos everywhere, all over his arms, and he finally explains that, and it really, really astonished me. Okay, we're listening to that on Vegan World Radio 90.1 here in Houston.
Nothing will prepare you for the loss of a loved one, let alone the loss of your partner.
So this really quick history. I had a very successful career before I gave everything up. Owned several restaurants.
About 11 years ago, I wasn't vegan. Fast forward through several businesses. I met my fiance. Her name was Amanda. At that point, I thought I had done everything I ever wanted to do. I had 3 successful restaurants, sold 2, had a farm. I learned everything I wanted to learn. I did it all on my own, and I felt really good about it. I had a beautiful, beautiful fiance who was a model, trained horses, loved animals. I was very ego-driven. I just wanted to be successful, and I wanted to be the best at what I was doing. One day, though, Amanda had left for work, and she never came back. She was killed in a car accident, hit head-on by a 17-year-old boy in her lane on a bridge. She couldn't get out of the way. It was not her fault.
The suffering and grief I felt was suffocating. I had 2 choices, to go down a road of self-destruction or accept what had happened and find a way through it.
All those thoughts I had about being successful, money-driven, were not worth nothing.
The loss of Amanda made me realize my whole life to that point was based on ego and attachment. Being the best, cooking anything and everything without a second thought as to the consequences of my actions. As long as the food tasted great and I was paid well for it, I didn't care where it came from or if it was animals or the implications and consequences it had. I ended up laying my old self to rest, selling off the food business.
I went and lived at a Tibetan Buddhist monastery for 3 years.
And I went there
to really sit down with myself
and studied compassion and how my mind worked.
I was in a bad spot, and that was not a good thing. What I learned there was how to practice and train my mind to understand how I work.
What I discovered was a connection to food and heart that I had ignored. Animals suffer just as we do. From then on, it became my mission to find alternative ways to prepare amazing food that not only benefited people, but avoided animal suffering as well.
The only thing I can do is explain how I process things and how it might relate to you. By practicing compassion and really understanding what compassion is, the difference between empathy and sympathy, the difference between feeling sorry for somebody else and taking on how they feel is really groundbreaking to me. I mean, it's painful. I still live it every day. It's not as hard anymore as it was when I lived then, but it's still there.
That time reflecting and learning helped me reorientate my own moral compass and opened up a whole new world of creative cooking. It also helped me become much less of a jerk.
You know, we all know things get better in time, right? Or at least they fade. I never wanted that feeling to fade. And to remind myself, tattooed it all over my body. All these tattoos have Amanda's ashes in them. They're not because I'm a badass. Because I never want to forget where I was, why I changed my attitude, what drives me now, today, to do what I do.
I believe in compassionate action. And the way I express that is through cooking and developing amazing recipes that inspire and teach people how to make and eat delicious foods without animals.
You have the power to make a difference by what you eat, and that's huge.
We're coming right around that anniversary time in July. And so for me, the month, couple weeks, the week leading up to the day of her anniversary, which will be 17 years this year, and we're coming right around that anniversary time in July, is always a little bit tougher. I'm a little bit more sensitive.
And so that was Derek Sarno, S-A-R-N-O. And like I said, that's a much longer moving clip that he presented on YouTube. I should have also explained the reason his voice sounds so different there is he assembled that himself from different lectures and speeches that he gave, as well as sort of narrating it to pull it all together. And if you see the original, he says how difficult this was for him to talk about it. So I just thought that was very moving, and you know, different ones of us experience grief at different times, so it's sometimes that can be the thing that really makes you find the significance of just not wanting to have anything to do with violence in your food that we all eat every day. I know we're running short on time. Let me just get one more thing in. We always try to give you, and Derek's recipes are amazing. They're a little bit complicated, but I just try to always give you just a quick two-minute recipe to get you inspired in the kitchen. And then in the second half, we're really going to focus on Captain Paul Watson and his detainment in Greenland. But coming up next, we're just going to have a very brief, this is just a fun little, have a little bit of lightheartedness here that's a recipe for summer vegan recipes. And this is also on YouTube, a gentleman whose YouTube channel is SimNet, like SimNett Nutrition. SimNet Nutrition, summer vegan recipes. And it's just for like a lighthearted little cool thing for those of us who didn't have any air conditioning for the past more than a week after the hurricane. And we just know how just oppressively hot it is. He creates what he calls an ice cream, which is blended frozen fruits. And then he doesn't really explain what he's doing if you don't look at it, but he's arranging it with some cereal and some chopped fresh fruit. So it's just very refreshing. And this will give you a chance to get in the kitchen. And then we're going to get serious after this recipe.
So what I'm making here is a protein nice cream fruit and granola bowl. So I'm just starting by cutting up some fruit, just so I'm not scrambling to do that while the protein nice cream is melting at the end. So we've just got some nectarine, some peaches, and then some kiwi here that I am taking the skin off of. But you can totally eat the skin if you want to. So I'm just chopping up some strawberries, and here's a quick reminder, don't throw the tops of the strawberries out. There are tons of nutrition still in those, so just throw them down the hatch, chew them up, swallow, no problems. And then just chopping up a banana really quickly, and then putting that aside. Here's everything that is going into the protein nice cream. So we just have a frozen banana, we've got some frozen mixed berries, a bit of non-dairy milk, here I'm using soy milk, and then we've got a scoop of protein powder. And this is from Vivo Life. This is their new flavor. This is the strawberry and vanilla flavor. So this protein nice cream is something that I'll often have like at night. If I'm just craving something sweet and I don't want to, you know, have a big heavy meal before bed, I'll just blend up some of this protein nice cream and man, it always hits the spot. So if you have a Vitamix and you've made this before, you will know this is the consistency you're looking for. However, if you don't have a high-powered blender and you still want to make this, you can. It's just not going to be quite as thick, but you just want to leave the frozen fruit out for maybe 10 to 20 minutes or so in order for it to thaw a little bit, and then it'll be easier on your blender. So look at all these blueberries. We actually picked these from Crystal's mom's garden the other day. She invited us over, and we brought home like 7 pounds of fresh organic blueberries. Amazing. So this is a new cereal I'm trying out. It's healthier than my like super sugar rich one that I'm kind of addicted to. Got some hemp seeds on there for the omega-3s, and look how beautiful that little bowl is. I don't think anybody would be upset having that on a nice hot summer day.
And so that was from SimNet Nutrition, if you want to look on YouTube. Okay, Wade is, when we come back from this next clip, Wade is going to introduce our guests, but to just set this up, we're going to hear Captain Paul Watson, before he was arrested, explaining what the campaign that was going on up there, and then the video of when he was arrested. So we're just going to listen to that quickly, and then we're going to jump into our guests.
We're here in Dublin, in Ireland, and to announce the initiation of Operation Kanji Maru. We're setting our sights on probably the greatest threat to whales worldwide, and that's the recently launched Kanji Maru, the world's largest whale processing factory vessel. It's operating right now off the coast of Japan. It could be in the North Pacific, but we have to get to the Pacific. Shortest route to the North Pacific is through the Northwest Passage. Now, since 1906, only about 340 ships have ever gone through there, but because of climate change, it's becoming easier to do that. With the retirement of Nishimaru, the vessel that we confronted so many times down in the Southern Ocean, Japan spent about $60 million to design and construct a new whale factory ship. Japan wants to resume full-scale commercial whaling, despite the fact that whaling worldwide is illegal. In 1986, the International Whaling Commission imposed a global moratorium on commercial whaling, and nations like Norway, Iceland, Japan continued to defy that. Japan withdrew from the International Whaling Commission. However, the IWC still is the only recognized regulatory authority overseeing whaling, and that's recognized by the United Nations. The Japanese are hunting brightish whales, sei whales, but they want to take fin whales, and that's what the main intent of the Kanjimaru is, to search out fin whales in the North Pacific or the Southern Ocean. Kanjimaru is a ship that's built for long-range activities. Wherever it is, we'll track it down and we'll intervene and block its operations. We have a strategy which I call aggressive nonviolence, to aggressively intervene but make sure that we don't injure anybody in the process. And the best way to do that is to block their operations and also to block any attempts for refueling. To block the operations means preventing them from loading dead whales up the slipway of their vessel. We'll just simply put ourselves in between the two ships that are trying to do that transshipment. And that has worked very well in the past. Targeting the world's largest whaling vessel is really, our ultimate responsibility. We have to go where they're killing whales, and I think that the greatest threat to whales right now is the Kanjimaru and its operations in the Pacific.
The Jean Paul de Jure arrived this morning in Nuuk, Greenland, where we were immediately boarded by a SWAT team and Danish police, who wasted no time in cuffing Paul Watson, our founder, and arresting him on a decades-old red notice at the request of Japan. Paul's getting arrested. You want to film that now? We need to get him out of detention here in Nuuk, Greenland. The longer he stays here, the more likely it is that he will be extradited by the government of Japan straight to Tokyo. So we're calling on all our supporters to mobilize and help us free Paul Watson.
So you are listening to Vegan World Radio here on 90.1 KPFT in Houston. And Wade Gonsolin is my co-host. Would you like to introduce our guest this evening?
Sure, Jerry Lynn, absolutely. And I was so lucky to find these two literally at the last hour. And I'd like to thank the people on the Facebook group that helped me connect with these two. We have with us Kira McLaughlin. Are you there, Kira?
Hi, yes. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And we also have Gary Stokes, I think, and I'm sure that Gary's there. Gary?
I believe that Gary got kicked out. May need to get let back in.
Okay, yeah, it happened as in our run up to the show, so he'll dial back in. He'll be okay, but that's okay because I have plenty of questions for you.
Of course.
Okay. First, briefly, I just want to go over really quickly a little bit of history about Paul Watson, just for our listeners who don't know. Who don't know these things. He's been an activist almost all of his life, okay? Co-founder of Greenpeace 1972 and of Greenpeace International 1979. Founder of Sea Shepherd Conservation Society 1977. Field correspondent for Defenders of Wildlife 1976 to 1980. Field representative for the Fund of Animals between 1978 to 1981, representative for the Royal Society for the Protection of Animals, 1979, co-founder of Friends of the Wolf, 1984, co-founder Earth Force Environmental Society, 1977, director, National Board of the Sierra Club, USA, 2003 to the present. He's lectured at universities. The man has dedicated himself 100% to the protection of life. And it, when I got this news that he was arrested, I swallowed my heart. It was so upsetting. And those of us who have not been to sea with Captain Watson, we may be separated by that experience, but there are activists all over the world who are just right there on the edge of their seats, wanting to know what's going to happen next. So
It was certainly a shocking and unexpected event that occurred, yes.
So when they came aboard the vessel, you know, I'm not familiar with how things work in Denmark. I'm assuming there was a Miranda rights thing that probably happened. I don't know. Their equivalent. The real danger now is extradition to Japan. Is that the biggest threat that we're facing for him?
Yes. Yeah, so Denmark sent a SWAT team and multiple police officers and lawyers to Greenland to perform an arrest upon Captain Watson at the behest of Japan. So it was an arrest warrant that was issued by Japan and executed by Denmark in Greenland.
So a SWAT team. They felt they needed to send a SWAT team onto this vessel.
Yes, they boarded the John Paul DeJoria in Nuuk and performed an arrest, handcuffed, and took Captain Watson away.
So the last update I saw online was that he is okay, as okay as he can be, and being treated civilly.
Yes, and he is awaiting the decision of the courts that will be released by August 15th to decide as to whether or not they will perform the extradition to Japan.
Did you say August 15th?
That is correct, August 15th.
So, and he's going to have to stay where he is until then.
Correct. Yes, the Danish ministry did not allow for him to be released on bail.
Okay. Is he in a cell or is he in a relatively comfortable environment?
He is in a detention center. However, you know, the detention centers in European countries do tend to be different than what we expect and see in the U.S. However, you know, he seems to be being treated well and seems to be doing about as good as he can. Given the circumstances, but yes, he is in a detention center.
Okay. Now, the reasons that they put forth for arresting him, apparently there was a decades-old red flag notice.
So there was an Interpol red notice, yes, that was issued by Japan decades ago, that had appeared to have expired. And or was unavailable. However, at our current knowledge, it seems that they essentially reissued a almost covert red notice in March. And that is what Denmark acted upon.
Wow. Okay. So there was some kind of communication between Denmark and Japan, do you suspect? Leading up to this, do you think that they were planning this together or if it just turned out this way?
Well, we had started Operation Kanji Maru to send the John Paul DeJoria to the Northern Pacific to hopefully intercept Japan's whaling mothership in its hunt for fin whales. So from a public perspective, you know, people were aware of Paul Watson's travels, the, you know, direction of the ship, what was going to happen. I don't want to speculate as to the, you know, communications between international forces, but I mean, obviously there was the red notice that was issued covertly by Japan and executed by Denmark. So there must have been some level of communication between those two governments.
Right.
And fundamentally, it really comes down to the fact that it's Japan's flagrant violations of international law and agreements. You look back into 1986 when commercial whaling was banned, and in 2014 when Japan's Antarctic Research Whaling Program was declared illegal. So, you know, these approaches that Japan is taking, these violations, clear and concise violations of international law agreements, moratoriums, are not going to inhibit the direct action approach to conservation that was created by Paul Watson.
Okay, geez.
Maybe I can jump in there as well, Wade.
Hey, Gary, there you are. Great, great. Awesome. Yeah, welcome.
Here from the UK. Another thing, obviously, to notice is the fact that it is a red notice. It's an Interpol red notice, which is normally reserved for war criminals and, you know, serial killers and the like. And yet the charges that the original red notice in 2012 were for ordering the boarding of a ship and you know, very, very low level, well, accusations, really. I mean, they weren't even valid. It was all to do with the boarding of one of the vessels by another captain, not even Paul. So, you know, this captain went to Japan and then did a plea bargain and said that he was ordered to do this by Paul. And because of that, they've now gone after Paul. But actually, it was even caught on Animal Planet and Whale Wars, Paul saying not to do it. So, yeah, it's all bogus, trumped up charges. But yeah, I think Japan have obviously got very concerned that the whale wars were about to begin again and needed to take action to try to, they would do whatever they can to shut down Paul. And that's one thing, but I mean, it's obviously more than just Paul, it's an entire movement that Paul's right. created.
Yeah.
You know, we have two ships now and several smaller vessels. We have, you know, activists and chapters all around the world. And, you know, we've already just seen in the last, 24, 36 hours, the outpour of anger, frustration, support for Paul from everybody, from state leaders, you know. Mm-hmm. Macron has come out, the French prime minister. We've had actors and just, it's been incredible. This is all for one person who has done so much for the animal kingdom.
Macron, you said Macron, he made a statement?
Macron has come out. So Sea Shepherd France, who is one of the allies of the Paul Watson Foundation, Lamia Ezamali is, you know, she's a force to be reckoned with. I mean, in 24 hours, she got over 200,000 signatures on a petition under 24 hours. It's incredible.
That's amazing. That is.
Paul is very, very much loved and respected in France. That's where he's been living. That's where his wife and children are at the moment. And it's great to see the French really stepping up and hopefully the United States. He is a U.S. citizen after all.
Well, yeah, I haven't met Mr. Watson yet. Someday I will, but I love him. You know, everybody I know loves him. When we were doing the protests against Taiji, the dolphin drive hunts, we would get very frustrated at the attitudes of the ministry there. And, you know, Shinzo Abe, who was the prime minister at the time, he flat out vowed that the dolphin hunts would never stop. And it was like trying to scale a mountain. I mean, from over here in the U.S., you know, there's only so much that I can do. Right. But, with people like Paul Watson are out there on the front line, that's who we're looking at. And that's who we consider our leader.
Ellen, what we're seeing and we have seen in the past 24, 36 hours has been a mobilization of the movement that an individual created that has now spans all across the globe with activists acting on the front lines. We have graphic designers, IT people working to, you know, bring awareness to this problem on both the animal activism side as well as the legal concerns as well. And so, you know, it's the thing that it is so much bigger than just an individual because Paul has created a movement.
Yes. Yes. No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Now, Gary, I didn't get to formally introduce you. Gary Stokes, you're a veteran activist. Have you worked closely with Paul Watson?
Yes, I've been with Paul for about 14 years now. So I went to Antarctica with Paul, and I was heading up the operations in Asia until just recently. So yes, I've worked very closely with Paul. I consider him a very good friend. So obviously we all come out and fight for our friends.
Can you describe what it was like to work with him? I mean, this is kind of an ambiguous question, but you know, it's, you said he was a really good friend.
I love talking strategy with Paul, and you sit there and you see the sparkle in his eyes. He sort of sees something and goes, and he'll always think of something completely out of left field. And he'll throw that one in the mix and we're having a meeting and you'll be like, actually, that could work. some of the most bizarre things. It's great to work with him on the strategy and just to get into the way of thinking. He's changed the way I looked at my activism and how I did things. I could speak for thousands of people who he's changed the way they look at things. And the proof that one person can change the world.
Yeah.
When you said it's just you, there's a lot of just yous.
I guess so.
And if I could jump in for a minute, this is Ocean here in Houston, and thank you guys for all coming together so quickly to bring us up to date on this. Does Captain Watson have a message for the people out here? Is he getting a legal team? Are they working on this? And what about the campaign? What are the prospects for that while he's in detention?
Kara, do you want to answer that one, or should I?
in terms of the legal side of it, we have attorneys working on the case with Paul in Denmark, the Denmark case in Greenland. And additionally, Paul was given the opportunity to appeal his arrest. He has decided to appeal. He did so on Sunday, and the next higher court has 4 to 5 days to make a decision. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the Ministry of Justice must decide by the 15th of August at the latest whether he will be extradited to Japan. So we are, raising funding for donations for the inevitable attorney costs that this is going to invoke. But yes, Paul has legal support in Greenland, Denmark, and as Gary was saying, across Europe, even up to the French government.
But we haven't actually been able to talk to Paul as of yet, so we haven't actually got a message from him. I know that Captain Lockie has been in, so he'll be going in to speak with him, hopefully. We're hoping. I'm sure he'll convey, what's going on in the outside world of what's going on. I think Paul will probably be quite aware of it because this happened before. The upwelling this time is just huge. It's gone so fast and so big. So we just need to keep the support going. And we have set up some calls to action. I know over here in the UK, we set up a website, which is freepaulwatson.org. And on there, it's got all the different calls to action that people can do to help, which is sending letters. It's got all the different countries on there, so you can click on the flags and your relevant countries, and it's got addresses and things of where to go. It's about getting the word out there. If you've got any friends in media and that, get them in touch. We just need to spread this message far and wide.
Okay.
And additionally, across the US, there are the local chapters organizing protests in front of Danish embassies and consulates in major cities. So we call to people in the US and across the world to, attend those protests if they can, visit the freepaulwatson.org website, which will populate an email to be sent to the leaders in, again, as Gary was saying, across pretty much most countries that we have access to. And so there are a lot of ways for, you know, the just one person that we've been talking about to provide support for Paul, for the mission, for the campaign, and ensure that it doesn't die down and lose the massive, massive outpouring that we've seen over the past day or two.
Excellent. As for whether the position just asked about whether the campaign will continue, we can't actually say officially yet, but I'm sure Paul will want things to continue. But we do have many other campaigns still running, especially even in the Danish Faroe Islands at the moment. We have crew on the ground there opposing the pilot whale slaughter. So, you know, there's a lot still going on around the world.
Right.
It's still business as usual. I mean, the campaign, where the ship will go, that will all be decided. That's being discussed at the moment confidentially. And we'll work out where the best route is.
Okay. Just for the listeners who just the slaughters that are happening in the Faroe Islands, that's just for the listeners' benefit. That's another ongoing campaign that Paul has been fighting very hard.
It's also quite relevant to this case because obviously it's Denmark again.
Yes, yes.
And the Faroe Islands, just like Greenland, they're very similar. They actually come under the Kingdom of Denmark, but they're actually self-autonomous states that run on their own. But they still have the judiciary and the legal system and the law enforcement and the military provided by Denmark itself from Copenhagen. So, you know, it's a very similar situation. The Faroes is very messy. The fact that they slaughter whales when Denmark is an EU nation which bans and forbids the slaughter of any cetaceans, they play the card, you know, in their favor when it suits and not in their favor when it doesn't suit. So similar situation now with Greenland.
So they're a fairly isolated society out there in the Faroes, isn't that correct?
It's not really isolated. It used to be isolated hundreds of years ago, but now there's flights coming in every single day, and then they've got every single produce in the supermarkets. So, this is another subject for another day, I guess. But it is relevant. It's Denmark again, and they need to be called to question on this.
Right. They can't. Yeah. I guess the point I was going to make was that they can't really use isolation as an excuse anymore. No. That's what how a lot of us feel about that.
Yeah.
And
we have about 5 minutes to remember anything that's also very important to share, websites and things. I know that you're asking people also to contact the consulates of Denmark to put pressure on them. I've called the one here in Houston and the one in Washington, and they seem to want you. They don't seem to want to take down a memorandum by phone, but they are putting forward all emails to their government. Would you guys also advise people to put pressure on the Japanese consulates, or do you really want to keep the target on Denmark?
I think the focus is obviously Denmark and also the United States. I mean, he's a U.S. citizen. So the U.S., the interesting thing was when Paul came to the U.S., while he had the original red notice, it was actually Senator John Kerry who welcomed him into the United States, gave him back his passport. They know, the United States knows that this is a bogus, trumped up, red notice. It's a misuse of the Interpol red notices.
Yep.
So they know that. And the United States obviously is a very, very powerful ally for Paul to have and a passport to have. And when one country has arrested him and is planning to send him to another country where he's going to stand an unfair trial, I think, you know, the states definitely need to get involved.
The goal is to prevent the extradition, and that is at the power of, you know, the foreign governments. Japan obviously will want to, you know, promote that as much as possible. However, the power that the U.S. and Denmark have is able to stop that. So we implore you to visit paulwatsonfoundation.org for information about, you know, Paul, the organization, what we do, and freepaulwatson.org, where you can find contact information and email templates for leaders in Denmark, in the U.S., and country, you know, many countries that your listeners could be from.
And for people who haven't seen Paul Watson, you can go back and look at Whale Wars and just see what tremendous courage he has of also not just doing this fight, but facing that horrific slaughter of the animals and doing something. I mean, so many of us feel paralyzed when we see that. But I think we're wrapping up. Did we have anything, Wade, just last comments?
Well, I don't. Kira really kind of covered it for me. I was going to throw out two links just right now, just in case people, you know, wanted to go there. It was www.neptunespirates.uk/freepaulwatson. And if you go there, you can find the other links. You can find the email template, which I already downloaded. It's real easy. All you have to do is copy paste, fill in your contact information. It takes less than a minute, and you can send this to all of those links that they provide, and not just the UK, but to all of these areas. And I've already researched to see if there was a Danish embassy nearby. There's actually a little consulate in Atlanta, so I may try to throw some people in a bus and go up there. We'll see.
Well, Gary and Kira, thank you so much, and please contact us if there's further developments. We want to stay on this story, and this is just our heartbreaks for Captain Watson. He's such a hero.
Yeah, we also just want to bear in mind and remember his lovely wife, Yana, and their kids, you know, Tiger and Murta, and also Lani, who obviously, you know, he is a father, like many of us, of a beautiful family. So they obviously are going to be missing him a lot.
Oh, well, thank you guys so much for coming on the air. Thank you very much. At such short notice.
You're welcome.
Yes. Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you, Wade, for hosting again and joining us by phone. And as we're going out, we're listening to Barry White, who is also a Texas native from Galveston, and his song Change. And we want to remember, of course, Sheila Jackson Lee, who's now passed. But keep Paul Watson in your thoughts, everyone. And until next week, thank you again, Wade.
Of course, thank you very much.
You're listening to 90.1 KPFT, and Whole Mother is coming up next.
Can't At KPFT, volunteers are the lifeblood of our organization. Here's what they say about us.
When I volunteer.